The Bible nowhere calls us to be religious, nor does the Bible call us to simply be spiritual people. Here's one thing that we're going to talk about for the next 9 weeks, is it talks about being mature people. Mature people. Yeah. How many, it's a lot easier to be religious, right? A lot easier. And Jesus said it like this. This is pretty powerful. Jesus said, hey, I want you to be perfect. I don't know if you know that Jesus said this, but Jesus said, I want you to be perfect like your Father is perfect. And what Jesus was saying, and where we're going to be going in this series, is that he was really calling us to be like our Father, to try to be as much like our Father in heaven as is possible. And so rather than be religious and rather than be spiritual, here's what I would like for us to be, church. I'd like for us to be like God. Like God in our community. Because the thing about religious is that can mean a whole lot of different things. And spirituality. I've met some people that their spirituality was a little bit of Bible and a little bit of maybe Buddha and some enlightened thinking and some Oprah Winfrey and just kind of mash all that up. And that was really their spirituality. Anybody, is that too offensive? Okay. Am I in the right place today? And so rather than go for something like that, Jesus says, you know what? Let me just make it clear. Just follow me. Just do what I do. Just say what I say, because here's my goal, is that you would be like your Father. And so when you see me, you've seen the Father. And so what Jesus is calling you to be, if you're going to be a Christian or Christ follower, is literally this, to be like Christ. That's what it is, to be more Christ-like. And Paul really helps us with this. I just love the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, I love the Apostle Paul more and more all the time because he wrote over half of the New Testament. Think about that. We wouldn't have over half of the New Testament would be absent if it weren't for the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says, I feel called to reach the world. And so he's responsible personally, for the most part, for why there is a church in America today. Because he spread the gospel to all these various parts, and it just started spreading all over the then known world in an incredible way. And here's what he came back to, and we're going to read this and study this for the next 9 weeks because it's so powerful what the Apostle Paul wrote in what we call the book of Galatians. And the book of Galatians is actually just a letter that was written to the people of Galatia, of course. And so he talks about the Holy Spirit, but not in a way that you be spiritual people, okay? And he gives some lists. He loves giving some lists in Galatians. We're going to read a couple of those here in a moment. But it's not a list like the Ten Commandments. Okay? It's a different kind of list that involves relying on the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want us to find ourselves in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul's going to answer this question, how can I be more Christ-like? Because if that's what Jesus wants for me, and I would go as far as to say, the world doesn't need more religious people, okay? Religious people drop bombs on each other. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And I don't want to go too far that way, but we, in the name of religion, in the name of spiritual, we can be some mean people. How many of some of the most religious people you've ever known were mean as a snake? All right, I think I've got this set up. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, here's what Paul says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. As long as you're walking in the Spirit, you won't drift over. For the flesh, here's the problem. The flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. How many know there's a war going on? How many have ever had it inside your head? I want to do this, but I don't think I should do that. Okay? And he says, they are in conflict with each other, so you do not do whatever you want. If just left to yourself, you don't. I was talking about this to somebody out in the lobby before we came in here. You don't drift into greatness. Think about it. But if you're led by the Spirit, okay, you're not just drifting. You are not under the law. In other words, you don't even need 10 commandments. You don't need 10 commandments. You're not going to murder somebody if you're being led by the Spirit. You're not going to commit adultery if you're led by the Spirit. The acts of the flesh, so here's our first list that we're going to look at. It's obvious. Paul says, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul says, I could go on, but I don't need to. I think I made my point. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to have this other list that Paul's getting ready to give us. These other things, these other characteristics are not going to be in your family. They're not going to be where you work. They're not going to be in your community. They're not going to be around you if you're not led by the Holy Spirit. And here's what's helpful in this. Paul says, left to yourself, this is what pops up. This kind of stuff. If you just do whatever you want to do and on, you're just led by yourself, this is kind of what'll happen. This kind of stuff. He says, you're going to struggle. But the good news is you don't have to do that. You don't have to. You don't have to succumb to that, right? You know, you have a choice. And when the Holy Spirit leads you, this is the pneuma that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. The pneuma, which is spirit, the Greek word in the Greek text, pneuma means, anybody know? Okay, we need to go back and repeat a couple of weeks ago. Or you can just go back and watch it, all right? It's the wind, right? The breath. I had a balloon up here, and we saw the difference between one that's inflated and one that's not. And there's a difference when the Holy Spirit is in you. When he's blowing in you. Anybody here ever have the Holy Spirit blow in you, just blew upon you, and you felt his presence? You knew he was leading you. You knew he was guiding you. You knew he was directing you. Let me put it this way. You ever been driving down a freeway, and it's incredibly windy, like there's going to be gusts of over 50 miles an hour or whatever. And you're out in some open territory, and then maybe you drive into some area where it's more congested, there's trees and forests or whatever, and then all of a sudden you come out into an opening. Have you ever felt the wheel kind of go? And that's what Paul's talking about here. He says, left to yourself, you don't go in a good direction, but if you allow, the wind will blow. The wind will come, and it can shift you over to another lane. It can help you to move over into a better spot if you allow the Holy Spirit to blow into your life. And how many know we could use some of that wind today? Not just because it's hot outside either, right? This is what our world needs today. And people... Here's what I think. When we get to this list that we're going to talk about, people want this list. People want God in our life. Here's the problem. They don't like the God that many of us have represented. They want God in their life. They recognize, I need God. If there is a God, I need him. But if he makes me like those people, I already act like them. Maybe I even act better than them. And so Paul says, here's what we need. We don't need more made-up spirituality. I'm a spiritual person. We don't need more religious people. We don't need people who say, well, we got the Ten Commandments or whatever. No, what Jesus and Paul call for is we need to be led of the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit. And here's what he says. He says, if you'll do this, you'll get the respect of other people. Because other people may not, listen to this, church, we need to get this. They may not agree with you, okay? Because you may not agree with them. You say, well, I just can't agree to that. But because of the way you live your life, they respect you. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be awesome to live in a country where Christians... people who are Christ's followers are respected. Where maybe somebody says, you know what, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't care about that or anything, but I sure want to hire them. I sure want my daughter to marry one. Because I've seen what they're like. I've seen the lifestyle that they have. And so Paul says, hey, here's what you can expect if you'll be led by the Spirit. Okay, if you'll allow that wind to blow into your life, instead of you just doing your own thing, instead of you just trying to be a religious person, instead of you trying to be a spiritual person on your own, if you would actually, Paul says, allow the Holy Spirit to blow into your life, here's what you can expect. And he gives this list to the Galatians, to this Roman province, which is probably modern day Turkey today. And he says to those people, he says, here's what can happen there. Here's what you can expect. There's going to be a different kind of fruit that will come from your life. It'll be noticeable. Other people won't be producing this. That their tree will produce something else. And he talked about that. Hatred, animosity, envy, all these other qualities. But he says, no. In your life, if the wind blows, here's what will happen. Kindness, faithfulness, joy, peace. I mean, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that to happen? And again, isn't that what you wish your spouse had more of? Your boss? Your coworkers? Fellow students? Don't we all want this? Can you imagine a family where kindness just, it just pops out, just exudes from them? I mean, they just are full of faithfulness, steadfastness. And see, when you have this, again, that's when I reemphasize this, especially when we have political unrest and people, you know, getting kind of crazy and different things. Listen, you don't need more laws. There's already enough laws to stop that. There's laws on the books to stop that stuff. Here's the problem is people don't have the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, Paul says, it just comes out. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things. And we all want this. And let me just say to all the dudes, okay, in the house, as we get ready to look into this list, all right? Because here's the thing. This list may not sound overly manly to you, okay? But I want you to know that Jesus, who took on all your sin and bore it on the cross, carried that cross himself, that all the weight of that cross and died for you, was beaten like you've never been beaten, and abused like you've never been abused. Let me tell you something, that this is his list, okay? This is the list that will make you a better husband. It will make you a better leader in the community. It will make you a better man if you would just do this list. And I believe, and this is what I'm praying for, God, we need your help to do this list. Because I can't do these 9 things on my own. I can't produce this on my own. And so what I hope will happen in you over these next 9 weeks is you will say, boy, do I need the Holy Spirit. Wow. It is just evident that I need the Holy Spirit. Because here's what he's going to give to us. Not a to-do list, but a to-be list. See, it's not a to-do. See, that's religious, you know. That I've got my do list, and everybody's got their own do list and don't list. But he says, no, I've got a list for you. It's a to-be list. If you'll be these things, it will draw people to you. And it will show you how much you need God in your life. Not things that you need to work on, but things you need to surrender to. Okay? So think of it that way. It's not, oh, yeah, I need to work on that one. No. You don't need to work on it. You need to surrender to it. You need to say, Lord, do that work in my life. Blow into my life. and help me with this. So there's things that you're going to see that you need the Holy Spirit more than other things. But before we read this list, I want to read what Jesus had to say about fruit, because it's interesting, because he talked about fruit as well. In John 15, he said, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." Notice what he says. "No branch can bear fruit by itself." Okay, in other words, you can't do these nine things. You can't do it on your own, in your own strength and power. What you've got to do is remain in the vine. "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're not. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you," here's what will happen: "you will bear much fruit." Turn to your neighbor and say, "There's hope for me." You thought I was going to say there's hope for you, didn't you? You're ready for that. Some of you were ready for that one, all right? I flipped it on you, all right? "Apart from me, you can do nothing," all right? You ready for this list? All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's read the list. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Again, you don't need a law when you got those things, when you have that in your life. And today, I want us to focus on the first one. And if there is a theme in the Bible above and beyond everything else, it is this one: love. Love. Love is the topic of the Bible. Because the Bible says, Paul said it this way, "The greatest of these is love." Jesus said this: "A new command I'm going to give to you, that you would love one another." Jesus said, I'm just going to break it down to one commandment. And then one day somebody said, "Hey, what is that one commandment?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And we say at this church, love God and love people. How many are still working on that one? You know, we don't need a long list, do we? We just keep working on that one. And so God is more interested in what you do than what you know. See, a lot of churches, here's the problem with religion, is a lot of religion focuses on what you know. You need to know what this church believes. And there's good to that, all right? I'm not knocking to, but here's what the Bible says: knowledge puffs up. Knowledge. I've known people who can quote the Bible again, but they were rude. Just rude. You know, I mean, some of them angry people. Anybody with me? You know what I'm saying? Some of you have been related to some of them. And here's the thing. God wants, it's important to know some stuff, but God's more interested in what you do. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love God? Do you show forth? So we got to get this one right. It's not, "Well, everybody, I want you to be nicer this week. Now let's sing the doxology and we'll be dismissed." That's not it, all right? Wouldn't it be great if that's all it took? But here's the thing, is is people are attracted when we have this list operating in our lives. Single people, everybody that's single and ready to mingle, all right? More will be attracted to you if you have this list than anything else. You will be better looking, okay, if you'll do this list. Because here's what Paul says in Galatians 5:6. Let's back up and see what he says. He says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value." Because there was a fuss back in that day about what you do as far as religion goes. And you got to do this to be religious. And Paul says, no, it's not about that outward stuff. The only thing that counts, maybe you need to underline that. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. In other words, it's not, well, I'm a spiritual person, or I'm a religious person, you know, like the circumcision, uncircumcision stuff. No, it's about how do you love? How do you love? Expressing itself through love. And here's the thing. Who am I supposed to love? Everybody. Because everybody matters to God. And if everybody matters to God, they ought to matter to us. So how do we produce this? How do we grow in this? I've got three things that I want you to maybe write down today that'll help us as a church so that at least in Hendricks County, people will want what we have. They will want this experience. Yeah, wouldn't that be good? They will want not the Jesus that maybe they've perceived, not the God that they've heard and all that somebody told them about, but the one they see in you and in me. How are we going to pull this off? How do we produce it? First thing is understand and experience God's love for you. You've got to encounter it first. You know, you've got to experience this overwhelming, all-consuming, never-ending love that God has for you. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul put it this way, verse 17. So that Christ, and this is his prayer for this church, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray, here's my prayer, Paul says, that you be rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all God's holy, the Lord's holy people, to grasp, watch this, how wide and long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. It's immeasurable, Paul says. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you would just be overwhelmed by the wind of God's Spirit blowing in you, producing love like nobody's seen before, except in Jesus. And he says, if you want to know what kind of love this is like, just look at Jesus. Notice how deep, how wide. And here's the word, and if you've been in church probably for a few years, you grew up in church, you might at least know one Greek word, okay? And this one would probably be it. It's the word agape. Agape. There are three different kinds of words for love in the Greek language, and this is the one Paul picks. This is the one in Ephesians. This is the one in Galatians. This is the one that Paul chooses to use to share with us what kind of love he's talking about. And an agape kind of love, just quite simply, is God's kind of love. Okay, it's not, I love hamburgers. Okay, that's not it. See, we use love in all different kinds of ways. But Paul says, no, that's not the love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God kind of love that could love somebody who is down and out, that other people would never want to love. Let me give you a story. In Luke chapter 7, I love this story. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went. Let me just stop there and just say, isn't it awesome to serve a Jesus that'll go to anybody? Yes. He'll go to anybody if you just open the door. And so he went to the Pharisee's hot house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there. Notice how she's drawn to Jesus. She wasn't drawn to the guy's hosting. She stayed away from him. But she was drawn to Jesus. And she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She's moved upon emotionally. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet," I thought he was sharp, okay? I thought he was sharper than this. "But if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, and that she is a sinner." That's what she is. And look at this. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Well, tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people." Don't you love a God, too, that can read your mind? Also, you know. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. So 10 times more. Neither of them, though, they both had this in common, had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" And Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them." In other words, you didn't honor me. You should have done this. If you thought I was any kind of teacher or whatever at all, like you say with your mouth, that I'm a teacher, but you didn't even do the decent thing of welcoming me properly into your house. And he says, "You didn't do that, but look at what she's done. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped." Somebody say, "She won't stop. She won't stop kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured expensive," we learned from another story, "very expensive perfume on my feet, up to a year's wage is what she poured on him. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins," that you want to talk about and think about and be about, "have been forgiven, as her great agape," her God kind of love, "has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Who are you in that story? I know who I am. I know who I am. I know what he's done for me. See, I know. I don't need somebody to point me out. I don't need somebody to name my sins. I don't need someone to help me with that part, because I know all too well just how little I am like Jesus on my own. I identify with this lady, that the love that I have experienced. See, you've got to understand God's love. And Jesus said, when you understand it, you'll give it. When you really get this, and I don't know, I hope you feel this message working on you as much as I feel it working on me. Because the only way for me to love the people I don't want to love is through the help of God's Holy Spirit in my life. All right, second thing is receive God's love. You got to receive it. Here's what John wrote in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. See, in other words, if all you did is receive religion, you didn't get what God came to give. If all you've done is you've received spirituality, then you didn't get what Jesus died on the cross to provide for you. Because it's way more than being a religious person. It's way more than being a spiritual person. It's a person who looks like Jesus, right? It's somebody who acts like Jesus so much that people who are not like Jesus want to be around you. They want to get close. And let me just say it this way. You can't learn fruit, right? You can't learn fruit. It's like, we're going to learn some fruit this month. No, we're not. We're going to learn about it, but you can't learn it. You have to experience it. See, you have to, let me say it this way. You can't learn fruit. It's a byproduct of who you are. See, it's like toothpaste, right? I squeezed some out this morning. How many are praising God for that, right? I know, I'm praising God that you did too, all right? And so when you squeeze that, whatever's in it comes out. And that's the way it is with you. When the pressure's on, when the stress mounts, when there's difficulties, when there's challenge, it's easy to come in here and praise Jesus when everything's going your way. But I want to talk about the people who are in here today that everything's coming against you, and yet you're still praising him, loving him, serving him, and being like him. That's walking in the Spirit. Here's the third one, is you got to choose to love. Because love is choice. Colossians, another writing of Paul, here's what he wrote to the church here. He says in chapter 3, verse 14, and over all these virtues, okay? Again, Paul's like, over everything else, put on love. Over everything, which binds them all together in perfect unity. In other words, I put on this shirt today. I've got to put on love today. It's not automatic. You got to put it on. You got to decide before you get to work, I'm going to love the snot out of these people. All right? And it's going to be hard because a lot of them are full of snot, right? Come on, somebody, you know? And it's going to take everything. But there's no greater, think about it, there's no greater expression of love than when you love the unloved. Because Jesus said, anybody can love people they love, then love them back. But I'm telling you, go the second mile for people that don't deserve it. Love people who you don't want to love. And here's how it works. Choices lead, feelings follow. Okay, now I just gave some great marriage advice right there, okay? Choices lead, and then the feelings follow. Because we live in a feeling culture. I don't feel like it. I don't feel it, and make me feel like I want to. It's not about feeling. It's about choosing. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, here's what Jesus said about your choices. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, it's not backwards. It's not, you know, I'm going to put my heart into that. Oh, I love God. I love the church or whatever. He says, let's see it. Let's watch it. Because where your treasure goes. See, in other words, you didn't even care about that one company until you bought stock in it. You weren't all about that. Now you read. You study that company. Oh, I think they're going to shift CEOs and all. Other people don't even know about that. Don't care about that. You didn't care about that until your treasure went there. And when your treasure went there, your heart followed. What I love changes me into the image of that which I love. So you're already loving something. See, and it could be money. It could be I love my time. It could be I love my influence. I'm trying to be an influencer. You love something already. Here's what I'm asking you to do today, all right? Make God your top priority. This summer, just decide. I'm going to make God my top love. And how I do that is my heart's going to follow what I invest in. And that's why when you serve here, then it's your church. When you give here, it's your church. See, your heart follows it. It follows the trail of our time, our affection, our energy, our money, our loyalty. Remember this. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Whatever I love becomes an obsession. Whatever I become obsessed with, I imitate. Whatever I imitate, I become. What I love changes me into the image of what I love. It's true. Don't they say that about married people? I know with Rochelle and I mean, I was more introverted. She was more extroverted. And over these decades together, we've kind of done this. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so who you're around, see, it influences you. And so when we're around God more and we're listening to God kind of music and God kind of lyrics, and we're reading the scriptures instead of CNN, and we're filling our minds with that instead of X or whatever else that's out there, then here's what happens. Boop. Love starts popping out. You know? And maybe this week, here's what this could look like. Is, boy, he normally gets upset about this kind of stuff. She normally has plenty to say about this kind of situation. Now let's watch. But what if this week, instead of acting like that old person, you start acting like Jesus? What would that do? After everybody got up off the floor, maybe at work or in your neighborhood, your neighbor got revived, you know, they would wonder. And what it is it brings glory to God. See, because you know, and I know, the only way I can love people like this is with God's help. That's the only way. Because there's something that wants to rise up. Paul says, yeah, it's another list. And that's the list the world offers. You hate me, I'll hate you back. You cancel me, I'll cancel you. You cut me, I'll cut you. Right? But Jesus said, you know what? When someone wants to smack you, what do you say? Why don't you say, well, if you're going to do that side, you might as well do this side. Because I don't care. You can treat me however you want to treat me, but guess what? I'm going to say something like this. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. But I do know. And as a result, I'm going to live different. Let's pray. Father, help us, God, because, boy, we need your help. To produce this in our lives, we need, some of us, we got to get shifted over. But Jesus, you said if we would just stay plugged into you, it would happen in our lives. That the flow of the vine, the life-giving spirit of the vine would come into us. And God, our world today needs love, this kind of love. So God, we ask that it would start right here, right now. Maybe you're here today. And as a quote-unquote Christian or a believer or whatever, you might say, wow, Craig, I know I could do better. But really, I understand today that it's not me doing better. It's him doing more in me. And I need his spirit more than ever before. In a world full of hatred, anger, and rage, and all this stuff, I need the Holy Spirit more than ever before. If that's your prayer, church, if that's you today, would you just raise a hand all over this room? I'm raising mine. I don't know about you, but I need the Spirit of God. Father, today, pour your Spirit out. Pour it out upon us so that we are transformed, so that we love the way Jesus loved, so that we look a little more like Jesus this week. We talk more like Jesus this week. We act more like Jesus this week. And God, we know if we could just get this right as a church, if we could just really get this message right, that it would change Hendricks County. It would change the people around us. They would want that kind of God. They would want that kind of church. They would want what we have. So God, this week, do a work in us so that others can see it. And while we're still praying, there may be others. The Holy Spirit's drawing you to God. And maybe you walked away from God at one point in your life just because of what I'm talking about. You met people who were religious, but they didn't act anything like the Jesus that you would want to associate with. And maybe you walked away from church that was full of a bunch of judgy people and religious people and different things. Maybe you've had bad experiences with this. But I want you to know that the true Jesus has an overwhelming love that's so deep, it's so wide, it's so incredible that even the sinners can come at his feet weeping and they can be received by him. And if you're here today and you would say, oh, Craig, if you just knew all the stuff that I've done in my life and whatever, just you feel kind of like that woman. I just want you to know that you are welcome, not only in this church, but you are welcome at the feet of Jesus. And today you can surrender all your past, all of your guilt, all of your shame, and come to a God who loves you unconditionally. And if that sounds too good to be true, it does sound too good to be true, but I know I've experienced it personally, and it can happen to you today. If you're here and you need that kind of God, would you just raise a hand all over this room? Just raise it up. Say, yeah, that's me. I need that kind. Yeah, yeah, all over this room. Just raise them up. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you. As a matter of fact, let's all pray to encourage those who raised a hand around us to pray this out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. You so love the world that you gave your Son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Today I receive Jesus in all his grace and mercy to forgive me of all my sin and turn my life around. From this point forward, as much as I know how, I surrender all to you. Thank you for receiving me as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, let's celebrate those who made that decision. Your life will never be the same again.